tired, weak. They are on their own now. He wheeled himself out of the control center. The plan was to have one person at the central console, Woe's usual post throughout the mission. Quintero had drawn the first four-hour shift. Grant was last. Let me make a quick run to the toilet, Quintero said, squeezing his bulk past Grant's console. I'll sit in until you get back, Grant said to Nacho's rapidly disappearing back. Even Macho Nacho has to pee sometime, Patty Buono said, trying to lighten the tension that had smothered them all. Don't you? Asked Dukara, heading for the corridor right behind Quintero. Well, now that you mention it, Buono got up and followed her. Grant didn't bother bringing a chair to the central console. He simply stood in front of its darkened lights and stared up at the wall screen. Might as well turn it off, he told himself. The radio speaker built into Woe's console hissed static that crackled every few seconds from a lightning bolt. Quintero came back and hauled his own chair over to the central console. Thanks, amigo. I'm okay now. Good, said Grant, suddenly realizing that his own bladder needed relief. The nearest restroom was a dozen meters down the corridor. Grant headed for it, but saw that Dr. Woe was sitting in his power chair near its door. Do you need help, sir? Grant asked. Woe looked up at him disdainfully. What I need, he began in a snarl, then stopped himself. For a moment, Grant didn't know what to expect. Then, much more softly, Woe said, Come with me, Mr. Archer. He followed Dr. Woe to the director's office. As always, it was overheated, uncomfortably warm. But Grant saw that the vase atop Woe's desk was empty. Wheeling himself behind the desk, Woe gestured Grant to sit, then said,
I understand you have run into a setback with the gorilla.
Nodding, Grant admitted, I'm afraid I've thrown away several weeks' work.
Patience, Mr. Archer, patience.
Checking the neural net before I put it on her would have saved me this setback, Grant muttered. Woe nodded.
So you must start over?
I suppose so.
Just as the crew is doing in the Shenghe. We failed in our first attempt to explore the ocean, and now they are trying again.
Before the IAA inspectors can stop them, Grant said. Woe exhaled a sigh and nodded once. May I ask a question, sir?
You may ask, said Woe.
What does Shenghe mean? Is it the name of a person or what? The director actually smiled.
A good question. An excellent question.
Grant waited for more.
Shenghe was a great explorer. Commander of the Ming Emperor's navy in the 15th century. 50 years before Columbus and his pitiful little boats crossed the Atlantic, Shenghe's treasure fleets sailed all across the Indian Ocean, to Africa, Arabia, the islands of the East Indies, even to Australia.
I never heard about that, Grant said.
Great ships, 10 times bigger than the Spanish caravels, Woe continued. Hundreds of ships, thousands of sailors. Half the world was in China's sway while the Europeans still believed the world was flat.
Then why?
But the Emperor Shu Di died, and his successor had the great ships burned. They destroyed the fleet. They forbade exploration and commerce. China turned inward and decayed. By the time the Europeans reached China's shores, the Empire of Heaven was weak, poor, divided, easily conquered.
He fell silent. Grant thought over what Woe had just told him, then said, It could have been the other way around then, couldn't it? If they had allowed Shenghe to continue, China could have conquered Europe.
Easily.
Why did they stop? Woe took a deep breath and ran a weary hand over his eyes.
Shenghe was a eunuch.
Grant felt shocked. You mean he'd been castrated?
Many were in those days. In Europe also. Boys with sweet singing voices were castrated well into the 19th century, I believe.
Sheng He was a eunuch, Grant repeated in a whisper.
Most of the palace officials who promoted his fleet were eunuchs. The Confucian bureaucrats who ran the rest of the government opposed the eunuch's position of power with the emperor.
Palace politics.
Yes, said Wo. Palace politics, and the losers were often executed.
The Confucians won?
Eventually. When the Emperor Shu Di died, the Confucians tightened their grip on his successor. The great treasure fleet of Sheng He was destroyed.
And China crumbled.
It took China more than 500 years to recover. Even today, China is not as rich or powerful as it could have been.
It was lucky for the Europeans, then.
Yes, very fortunate for them,
Wo grumbled. Grant tried to lighten the mood. But today we're beyond all that. Asians and Europeans and Africans, we're all working together.
Are we?
Aren't we?
If your zealots had their way, this station would be closed, destroyed just the way Sheng He's fleet was destroyed.
They're not my zealots, Grant retorted as firmly as he could manage.
I feel very close to the spirit of Sheng He,
Wo said, closing his eyes.
His spirit touches my own.
Grant said nothing.
In a way, I am also a eunuch. My manhood was destroyed in the accident.
I didn't know, Grant blurted.
So I sit here, weak and helpless, while others sail into the unknown sea.
You're not helpless.
They blame Krebs for the accident. It was really my fault. I panicked.
I never heard that, said Grant.
Krebs is too loyal to reveal it. She has taken the blame so that I could remain as director.
What happened? Wo waved a hand.
What does it matter? Now I sit here and wait for word from them.
They should be in the ocean by now, Grant mused.
Yes, and while we struggle to explore, the Confucians, the bureaucrats who have the positions of power back on Earth, are on their way here to destroy us. They fear what we are doing here. They despise us.
They can't stop us. We're doing what we came here to do.
I should be down there with them.
Grant looked at the older man's tired, dejected face. Lines of fatigue and worry and self-doubt were etched into his flesh. If it weren't for you, sir, he said, they wouldn't be out there exploring the ocean at all. None of us would be here. And he realized as he said it that he himself would probably be back on Earth, or at Farside, if it weren't for Wo's monomaniacal determination to find intelligent life in Jupiter's vast ocean. Yet, for the first time, Grant felt that he'd rather be here, even as a lowly grad student, than anywhere else. Wo's passion has infected me, he realized.
Leviathan. Weakened by its battle against the Darters, slowly starving in this barren region of the sea, Leviathan allowed the powerful currents surging out of the eternal storm to drive it farther from the towering, roaring wall of seething water and its menacing bolts of lightning. Its wounded members flared with pain signals. Leviathan needed food, and plenty of it, to heal the flesh torn and shredded by the Darters' teeth. Yet there was no food to be found. At least there were no Darters in this empty part of the ocean. Leviathan doubted its members would have had the strength to fight them. Food. Leviathan had to find food. Which meant it had to circle the immense storm, return to the side where the currents flowed into it and the food streamed thickly. Riding the circling currents, drifting rather than propelling itself through the ocean, Leviathan wondered if there might be some food, any food, up higher. It was dangerous to ride.